You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Right, tonight we're going to look at the gift of prophecy. It's an interesting gift because it's probably the key indicator of the visitation or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Some thoughts from you. When I say prophet, what do you think of? I say prophet, what do you think of? Spokesman. What's your impression? Have you got a physical impression?
Scary.
Old Testament. Scary. Wild hair, wild eyes. Yea, verily and forsooth. And we get this really heavy sort of concept. Now, when I became a Christian, you know, a bit like when I was trying to grow up, I didn't know what I wanted to be. So when I became a Christian, I wasn't too sure what I wanted to be either. And I thought that prophet might have been good. But it doesn't work that way, thank God. As in every gift that the Holy Spirit brings us, the purpose is to reveal the heart and the nature of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to bring testimony to Christ. So the gift of prophecy is a gift that we can all access, just as you can all speak in tongues, just as you can all pray for healing or pray for the gift of faith. We're not talking about the office. We're not talking about somebody who gets a title, the official prophet of LMC. We're talking about, I'm trying so hard to be good. We're talking about the gift of prophecy which can be utilised in the church on a regular basis. Now, if we talk prophecy, do we think that it's something that's in the year 2017, America will have a female president and she'll declare war on China because they're misogynists or whatever? Is that the concept we have, that it's like foretelling something in the future? Because that's one aspect of it, but it's not the key aspect of it. And tonight I want to have a look at a few things. The scripture that I like, if you've got your Bibles, just go to 1 Corinthians 14. That really is probably the most illuminating scripture when it comes to the gift of prophecy. For those that weren't born into a Pentecostal or a charismatic church, one of the things that defined the Pentecostal movement was moving in the Spirit. We got some things fairly badly wrong. One of the things we got wrong was we started, the whole process became talking in tongues. You know, you have to talk in tongues. Some strange people said, if you don't talk in tongues, you're not saved. Which is just ridiculous. And it's a lie. And, yeah, we don't have to go into that. But in 1 Corinthians 14, it says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. So it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. If we have a concept of prophecy coming as a scary word, which is going to cause us pain or to give us grief or to expose us, we are not going to be seeking that gift ourselves. And if we think of it that way and we seek the gift, we need to have a good look in the mirror to see what our motivation is. The gift of prophecy is to encourage and build up the body of Christ. One of the important things when we're looking at that is that even the very words. We started this, well, the whole series is on the Holy Spirit. Now, we're just talking about the gifts, but it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about a person. And that person has certain titles. But paraclete, is one of the ones they used in the New Testament. It means comforter. It means somebody who will get alongside you. When you're feeling down, they'll be there with you. When you're having a good time, they'll rejoice with you. They're your friend. Or in the Australian idiom, they're a real mate. And that's probably the way I would want to see the Holy Spirit more than anything else. As a friend who stands with us all the time. He never turns his back. His love never fails, never gives up. So the focus we have is that the Holy Spirit is here with us all the time. Whether we feel him or not is irrelevant. He's here with us. And he wants to build us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us joy in the journey. Now, when we look at what the Holy Spirit it says here, the edification, the exhortation, or the encouragement and comfort, the words for those in the New Testament, the original words, were also from paraclete. And the way it was parakletos. And the way it means is to draw someone alongside, stick your arm around their shoulder, to walk with them, to lift them up, to carry them if they're struggling, just to let them know that you're there. So the gift of prophecy manifests in that manner. If we have that wild-eyed, scary, slightly strange and otherworldly image of the prophet or the gift of prophecy, usually looking like Charlton Heston coming out of the wilderness, a very emaciated Charlton Heston with a big stick, we've got it wrong. Paul says, speaking in tongues is good because you edify yourself, you build yourself up, and that's a very, very good thing. But prefer to prophesy. Now, what he was referring to wasn't prophecies about what was going to happen. It was speaking out the words that God puts on your heart for another person. There are elements of prophecy which are foretelling, but the majority of prophecy is forthtelling. Knowing something and saying, you know, yes, there were some people who went forward for prayer this morning, and in my heart, I knew that their prayer, I knew without doubt that God heard their prayer and was going to answer it. Now, I didn't get up and say that to them because I'm a wimp, and I didn't want to sort of like look like I was interfering, but I just knew that in my heart. Now, I could say that to them. They might say, well, it's none of your business, but I'm still saying something which is edifying and encouraging. So there's a set of notes, and as per usual, I'll occasionally refer to them, but most of the time I won't. When we look at prophecy as a concept or as a teaching aspect, it's very, very similar to word of knowledge. In actual fact, you know, it's sometimes what we call prophecy is a word of knowledge, and other times a word of knowledge can be a prophetic thing. I think the specific difference is this. A word of knowledge is given to an individual, one person, for a specific reason. A prophecy is also given, but can be given to a group of people. It's a more inclusive aspect. It's for building up the whole body. Now, it'll build up the individual, but it also builds up the whole body. Now, we've had people prophesy from this platform over the years, and some of them have been very, very encouraging. Others probably were encouraging somebody else, they just weren't encouraging to me because I just didn't get it. But that's okay. We're allowed to live with that. One thing that prophecy never does, it never can do, is to replace the Bible. So if you've got a concept that there's going to be a new word or there's going to be some type of new revelation, don't look at prophecy to be the thing that's going to bring that to pass. We have to measure a prophetic word. We have to hold it up to the scripture. And if we're smart, we'll just let it sit there. You know, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to have the Messiah, it says, and she dwelled on these things in her heart. She put them aside and she dwelled on these things in her heart. And I think a lot of the time what we need to do is if we get a prophetic word, if somebody has a prophecy for us and it's a little bit out of the blue, we need to put it on the shelf and allow time and the witness of others to ensure us. To do that, we look at the Cone method. I talked about it last year, looking at the context. When we're reading the scriptures and we look at a prophecy in Daniel or Isaiah or Jeremiah, we need to look at the context, who Daniel was speaking to. We need to look at what was going on at the time. We need to look at other scriptures. If we're going to try and build any type of doctrine, we need to look at other scriptures. Pentecostal church got a bad name because we had a lot of whackers, crackpots, in the church. People would find things like, you know, Israel is actually America. America is the new Israel. Do you know how you know that? Because if you spell Jerusalem, the middle part of Jerusalem is USA. You're smiling, that's good. We have people say some really weird, wild and wonderful things. Did they mean well? I would hope so. Were they proven to be true? No, they weren't. But it takes time to find that out. So keep in mind that the key element of prophecy, if it's a gift that you want to walk in or move in, and please read 1 Corinthians 14, because I'm going to keep going back to that. More than anything else, if you prophesy, people understand. If you speak forth the word of God in power and with the Spirit, people are changed. So, prophecy never contradicts the word of God, nor does it add to the word of God. Because one of the things we look in Scripture is, at the end, John says, cursed be any man that adds or subtracts anything from this book. Now, he was speaking of Revelation, but it's one of the things that closes the entire Bible. And you go, we're not to add or subtract from it. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's been examined. It's been tested. They've put what they call the canon on it, which says that it's the rule. It's what we're going to refer back to all the time. So whilst prophecy doesn't add to, it does speak into a specific situation. There was, in America, before the 7-11 or September 11, September 1. 7-11, I keep thinking the store, I get it wrong. That's what I meant, September 11. That's what I meant. That's good. There was a church that had been praying, and I remember reading this in a book that I've got, one of the books I've got, and one of the elders went to a family who were working in the trade centres and said, I really need to see you guys tomorrow. Can you make a time to see me? And so they went and saw this guy, and he says, I don't know why I want to see you. All I know is that God told me for you to come to my house. And that was the day that the plane hit. Was that prophetic? Was it a word of knowledge? I'm not going to pull at straws. But he had the courage to step out into what God had said. We need to check it. We also have to understand that any prophecy comes through a human vessel. So if you get a prophecy, or if I speak a word out, it's going to come through my grid. It's like a coffee filter. It's going to come through me, and it's going to get a certain amount of me in it. And if Chris has a word, it's going to come out through Chris's grid. Or if Gray has a word, it'll come out through Gray's grid. So we need to also understand that prophecy can be fallible. There's a human element in it. We have an expectation that people who are used in ministry or used with any of the gifts are always walking with God or doing the right thing. Would that be true? And yet we know that that's not true, because we know that God can use anybody, and he does. In the Old Testament, there's Balaam, who was a prophet, but he was a prophet for profit, because he was for hire. And they would go and get him and say, prophesy against Israel. And he couldn't do it. So God spoke to Balaam through Balaam's mule, donkey, ass. Saul, when he went to hunt David, the Holy Spirit fell on Saul and he started to prophesy. Now, I don't think he was telling what was going to happen in the future. I think he was just starting to speak an inspired word from God. People have prophesied that are not in a good place. It doesn't mean God can't use it. It just means we don't look at the vessel and we need to test the word. There's no specific office of prophet in the New Testament. There's not a title or a position that is given in the church that says, this guy's a prophet. Now, I know that in days gone by, we have looked at a person and said, well, that person's a prophet in our church. But actually, that's how it actually works. Somebody who... All right. Reno Diefensenus is a guy that's got a real heart for people, and he does a lot of evangelism work, often out nights, reaching out to people who are lost. Now, is he an evangelist? Well, Reno doesn't stand up and speak at great big meetings like Billy Graham or Franklin Graham, but Reno's got a heart for evangelism and he does a lot more evangelising than I do. So if you're going to put a title on him, in that sense, you'd say yes. And Barry Chan speaks of it. He says that if there's a spectrum and there's people over here who are prophesying all the time and there's people over here who never prophesy, then we're going to look at the ones over here and say, guess what? That's your gifting. You seem to be moving in that area. But we're the ones, or the people in the church, the ones that actually recognise and give that title. God doesn't. In the Old Testament, he did. He'd call a man to prophesy, or he'd call a man to go and speak his word. But we're all able to do it. And with all these gifts, that's what I think the thing that more than anything else I want to get through to you. We can all do this through the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to do this. He wants us to speak in each other's lives, to build up the body. All right. Now, practical stuff. What does prophecy consist of? Paul uses prophecy and revelation interchangeably in Corinthians. So one time you'll say there's a revelation or there's a prophetic word and you'll see something coming out. So revelation is a major element of prophecy. Revelation, being able to see something or having something revealed to us that wouldn't be revealed through normal channels. Jesus spoke numerous prophecies concerning his death and his resurrection, concerning what was going to happen with Peter, concerning the moves of the Jews and how things were panning out. We know that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and all these guys prophesied on a regular basis. But David, who was a king rather than a designated prophet, he had more prophecies in Psalms than most of the other guys have in all their books. It's the heart towards God that is the designation. You don't have to have a specific teaching or leaning, but if your heart's toward God, he can use you to speak into other people's lives. And that's forth telling. All right. Now, there's revelation. And there's probably four or five categories in revelation we need to look at. Jesus went to a well, and there's a woman there, and he asked for water, and a conversation takes place. And he says, go and get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, well, that's really true. You've had five husbands, and the bloke you're with right now isn't your husband, is he? Now, I don't know how you'd go if Jesus turned up and said that to you. Well, if you're a bloke, you probably wouldn't be happy. But if Jesus turned up and sort of revealed that to you, how would you feel? Oh, yeah, slink away? She didn't. She got really excited. She went out and got her friends. She got everyone around and said, come here, come and see this bloke. He just told me everything about my life. How did he know? So prophecy through revelation can lead to conviction. You can convict somebody. And I don't mean condemn them. I mean convict them. Bring them to a truth. Show them that God works. And in Corinthians 14 it says, if somebody comes into your meeting. Here, I'll just get the scripture for you. All right, verse 22. Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believer, not unbelievers. If the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some don't understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're all out of your mind? I remember the first time I took a mate to the church I came back to the Lord in, and he wasn't a Christian. And I'm sitting there and I'm sweating buckets. Why? Because I thought people were going to start speaking in tongues, giving words and interpretations. And I thought, he's just going to think I've totally gone off the rails. And they did, and he did. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand, verse 24, if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convicted or convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Why? Because nobody could have known what you blokes knew. Nobody would know those things unless God revealed it. I think it's important for us to realise that Paul continually says, it's for others. It's for others. It's not for us to have fun. Although sometimes it's good fun. Prophecy also can be predictive. It can be a foretelling and saying that this is what can happen. It can operate in instruction because Paul says that as we speak and prophesy, we instruct each other. We teach each other things. Because if God reveals something, to Mike, and God reveals something to Mike so that he can speak to Terry, and then Ross has a word for John. They're all different, but we're building each other up again, and we can instruct each other and we can learn. Revelation has an aspect of direction. In 2 Chronicles it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land. So the direction is, if you do this, this is what's going to take place. And if you don't do this, this is what's going to take place. But it's your choice. I'll get back on direction in a minute because that's probably the toeiest area of all. It also has an element of correction. Prophecy can be spoken. Jonah went to Nineveh for one reason. Because God says, if they don't turn around, if they don't turn from what they're doing, I'm going to turn up and they're not going to be happy. So Jonah goes and preaches to them and says, you need to turn around, you need to get your life in order. There are sometimes, and if we're doing this with motivational love, there are sometimes we can look at people who we know and we know are struggling, or we know who are starting to because of hurt or pain in their lives, are starting to walk away from God, and you go, you know something? No. You need to get your heart right again. Now, that's not condemnation. But if God reveals to you the person's heart and you go, you need to get your heart right again, soften your heart. God wants to call you home. And he wants to meet your needs. But if our hearts are hard and we turn away from that, guess what? You're going to go around the mountain a couple of times and it's not going to be fun. Whenever there is a correction in prophecy, there will be a direction. God never goes, this is wrong, without saying, this is how you fix it. So if anyone comes up and goes, you know, the Lord showed me your life and you're living in sin and you're doing all these bad things, and there's no direction, but God says he loves you and he wants you to return to him and be healed of the pain in your heart and to be restored to the love of the Father. If that doesn't come, it's not prophecy. I've heard people stand up in churches and say, this church, and I was at a church and there was a prophecy over the place that says, you know, you'll either do this or within 20 years there won't be a stone left standing. And people heard that and laughed because the church was strong and there was a lot of people in it. And it was prosperous. I mean, it was prosperous. And today, there's not a stone left standing. The word was there, but people didn't listen. And when you don't listen, there's a consequence. It's not a threat, it's a consequence. God came with a direction and a correction, and the correction wasn't taken, and the direction wasn't taken, and the consequence followed through. Nobody that sat in that church that day when that word was given believed for 1 minute there was any possibility of that church being torn down. The person who gave the message didn't have an axe to grind, and they weren't trying to be dramatic and they weren't trying to be negative. They were just telling the truth as God, because he loved the people in that church and he loved that church, God wanted to see them healed. He wanted to see the situation put right. The situation was not dealt with. How many times does Jesus say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I weep over you? Because the Father has sent the prophets and you've killed them. And he keeps sending you more prophets and you keep killing them. And now I'm here and you're going to kill me too. There were so many times that they were given an opportunity and a chance to turn around. And in our own lives that happens. That happens to us too. God speaks to us and says, okay, or somebody will speak to us. You know, more blessed are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. A true friend will tell you when you're out of line. Chris, you do that to me fairly regularly, don't you? With the staff we've got here, correction is part of the packet, but it's done in love and it makes you feel secure. It doesn't make you feel insecure. And if you know that somebody cares enough about you to step out there and go, hey, love you, but you're stepping on funny ground there, or your attitude's wrong with that, come on in, let's work this out. Not breaking relationship, in actual fact, we're enhancing it. You feel more secure because you're not going to be rejected without knowing what's going on. You make a choice. Okay. Wherever the Holy Spirit has a correction, he'll also have a direction. Revelation's first part. Edification's the second part. Edification means to build up. That's what the word itself means, to build up. It's actually, they use it in the terms of to build a house. Throughout Corinthians 14, Paul continually talks about prophecy building up, edifying, strengthening the church. We are blessed, and I'm not saying this because I work here, we are blessed because this church is built on good foundations. Not just the body of the church, because I know the guy who laid the foundations, but the spiritual base of the church. It's built on the word of God. Do we get things wrong? Yeah, we get things wrong. We make mistakes. The pastors and the elders will be the first to admit that. But we come back to the word of God. The foundation is that it's through the sacrifice of Christ that we are saved, not through works, lest any man should boast. We have faith, but that is a gift from God. And the faith is in the gospel that Jesus lived and presented to us. So we have good foundations. And we're blessed with that. But we need to continue to build it. You don't sit back on your laurels and do nothing. You continue to build. Third part, exhortation. It means to stir up. In actual fact, the word was used like a rider on a horse, sticking a spur in to make the horse go faster or better, to urge someone to move, to continue in the walk, to get up and have another go. It's an encouragement, but it's also a drawing aside. To call aside, to urge into future conduct. It's an encouragement. Now, just looking at the word encouragement, we're looking at what the scripture says about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does anybody get fearful? I'm glad you all put your hands up then. It was good. We all need to be encouraged. We all need, everybody sitting in this room needs to be encouraged. John Ferris encouraged me before I got up tonight. And I appreciate that a lot. Thanks, John. The Holy Spirit's there to encourage us. If you're feeling lost, alone, down, out, not included, isolated, the Holy Spirit's there to encourage us. How does he encourage us? He has someone speak into your lives. How good you feel if someone comes up and say, hey, you know, God just put on my heart that he knows the struggles you're going through. And he really identifies with that and he loves you. And he wants you to know that he's heard every cry of your heart and he's going to meet your need. Would that be a good thing for you? You're allowed to say yes. Would that be a good thing?
Yes.
All right, good. Is God going to turn up in person and say that to you? Unlikely, yes. And that's from a Collingwood supporter. Unlikely. Who is going to turn up and say something to you? Well, it could be Matt. It could be Neil. It could be Deb. It could be Chen. It could be Eric. God's going to use a messenger. In the Old Testament, they speak, it says, I have a message to take to the nation of Israel, but no one will stand up. And one of the prophets goes, here I am, send me. That's where they got the famous line out of Shrek. Pick me, pick me. If God is going to encourage us, he's going to use somebody that's in the family with us. He's going to use somebody in our church to encourage us. He's going to use somebody that cares for us to encourage us. Wouldn't it be nice if we were the ones that were given the encouragement? Wouldn't that be something we could look for and ask for? You think God would want to give us that? Do you think God wants you to encourage your brothers? How do we do it? Well, you know, one of the ways we do it is prophetically. Seek a word. Ask God to give you something. Now, we receive not because we ask not. Are the gifts any different for everybody? No, they're not. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And in him are all the gifts. We're going to get to heaven, I think, and we're going to go, you know, hey, well, I got saved and that's really good, but I didn't have a lot of gifts, so I didn't use many of them. And God's going to look at us and go, that's funny, I gave you all the gifts. I mean, I gave them all to you. What do you mean you didn't have any? Well, you know, I didn't have the gift of prophecy. Well, yeah, you did. The Holy Spirit was there. Anytime you had to ask for it, anytime you had it plugged in, that was it. The fourth one's consolation. It's, again, comforting, the same term, the same word, paraclesis. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the paraclete. In prophecy, more than anything else, you see this exposed. to encourage, to exhort, to comfort, is to paraclete, become the paraclete. The Holy Spirit himself is the paraclete. Let's go back a chapter. Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. Now, prophecies will cease. It says that in verse... Where are we? Trust me, it says it there somewhere. Verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they shall be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Does that mean we're going to all become really dumb? No, it means that when we get the fulfillment of God, when Jesus draws us back to the Father, when we complete, then the things we know now partially will be done with. We won't need them anymore. But love never fails. Love never gives up. And the whole process of this stuff, prophecy by itself, can be a tool that can be used and abused. There's been a lot of words said over a lot of people which have caused grief. But the heart of the prophetic, the heart of God, is revealed through prophecy in love. And if it's not done in love, folks, it's not from the Holy Spirit, and it's not gospel, and it's not prophetic. And so instead of having this image of Charlton Heston or this wild-eyed, fuzzy-haired bloke in animal hides coming out and saying, "Turn or burn," you have somebody who sits there and says, "You know something? God loves you so much that he came down to earth to be with you. If you think that he loves you so much that he came down to earth to be with you, and he's not interested in your specific situation or your personal life, and if he doesn't want to help you because guess what? You're a sinner. Then you've missed the entire message." To speak forth, not just foretelling, but to speak forth the truth of the gospel. In 14, he's not talking about, "Yea, there verily and forsooth, I see locusts in the shape of men, or men in the shape of locusts," or some weird esoteric mystical stuff. Prophecy is declaring the word of God. In the notes that Barry Chan has written, that I've taken from what Barry Chan has written, he quotes a number of people, and I've actually pasted it down. But the process is that prophetic ministry is not something isolated, and it's not something out there. It's for all of us here, and it expresses God's heart and God's nature. And I believe that's where he wants us to start to look at what we're doing on a Sunday, to move into this area, not so that we become so spiritually minded we're no earthly good, but so that we become a conduit where God can reach out and touch each other through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your encouragement, and I thank you, Father God, for the family we're in. And Lord, tonight, I just ask that as hearts are stirred, as people are touched by your word, that Holy Spirit, you just continue to exhort, encourage, comfort, lift up. Help us to become your conduits. Father God, I thank you that you allow and you welcome us to be part of your plan. And we become, as I said, joint heirs with Christ. For each one here tonight, Father God, I pray your word of encouragement to be on them. Lord, that they will encourage themselves in you and encourage others. Lord, that we will have the courage to speak out because of the gift you give us. And Lord, if we don't think we've got it, you're not a father that wants to withhold anything from his children. And if we ask for it, I know, Father God, you'll give it to us. So, Lord, we just claim that now, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.